Hi, I'm here with Tomasz Jobiecek, and I've met him in the Leadership Club as a fantastic speaker. Welcome to the podcast, Thomas.
Hello, Royce. Nice that you have me here.
So, tell us your journey. Basically, from when you started, before you were in Toastmasters, like, how were you starting off speaking? Did you have problems in school to speak or anything?
Yes, I was very, very, very shy person. And I remember when I realized that I have a problem with public speaking, it was in primary school. I was involuntary in the theater play. And there was the Christmas Carol. And I was the ghost of the future. So when a lot of people already gathered on the stage, I remember first step coming to the stage and then two steps that I was leaving a stage. Everything in between was just black. I didn't know nothing. I also saw my performance on video. I didn't even remember how I behave on the stage. I was that shy. So I was really happy when by accident I found Toastmasters here in Łódź. My first meeting was with four person and including two guests, but I was so impressed by the program, by everything, so I started doing it every 2 weeks back then, and now each week, and on many levels it helped me become more confident. Now I can go to the shop and even ask the girl for help to choose like proper pants, proper t-shirts. Previously was impossible. So now my goals in Toastmasters and as a speaker are much different, but it started with overcoming my fear of public speaking or speaking to other people even.
So you said you would, there was two members and two guests. That must have been the largest Toastmaster club in the world, was it?
Well, it was really intense because we actually had regular speech. We have 8 table topic questions and each of us could answer twice at least. And there was an evaluation. 2 experienced Toastmasters actually were there. And yeah, this hooked me up, even if it was a really small group.
And were you involved in Warsaw as well? Were you joined the Warsaw Club?
Yes, the club here in Łódź, when I started in September, was actually still too low and we didn't have that much knowledge. So I decided to join Top Courage Toastmasters Club in Warsaw at the beginning of 2009 to actually transfer the knowledge from Warsaw, from well-established Toastmaster Club, to Łódź, to our struggle with registration, with people, with knowledge, to just start like regular, fully registered club and build community around it.
And how long did it take? Because that wasn't the leadership, because the leadership is like 5 years, or was it kind of the beginning of the leadership club?
Actually, not yet. After I started going to Warsaw, to Top Courage Toastmasters, it took another 4 years to register club here in Łódź. There was the Łódź Toastmasters, Polish-speaking club. And just after registration on July, it turns out that there are some people that are interested in also speaking in English. I remember Andy there as the first native English speaker who was trying to speak Polish. And we decided, because the meetings were every 2 weeks, so every other 2 weeks, let's test something and make English speaking meetings. It took another half a year, just completely new energetic team to actually push it forward and register on April the Leadership Club.
Interesting. And what was the most amount of members that you've got? Because like it's about 2 years, nearly 2 years now that I'm a member of that club. But like, what's the peak? What was the amount of membership that you've got it up to?
For the leadership?
Yeah.
I think it was closing to 30 people, 30 members.
Okay. And you're also a member of, or you were of the Polish club in Łódź?
Yes, I was at the very beginning a member of Łódź Toastmasters, and I think I resigned because I couldn't find time. The leadership and the Łódź Toastmasters club meet exactly at the same time, at the same day. So there was a matter of making a proper choice, and I think I'm not a member of Łódź Toastmasters 2 or even 3 years already.
Okay. And what about like you're speaking? Because obviously I've seen you speak a few times, and am I correct in saying you were like national champion in a speak? Was a humor speaker or normal speaking?
It was first contests on, we can say, national level in 2012 in humorous speaking contest. Yeah, humorous speaking contest. On 2012.
And you won that, yes?
Yes, I won that, but next year's rules change, so it's now much harder to get there. And let's say back in 2012 was one level less to compete with other people. And maybe that's why I won, or maybe I had really good speech. Still don't
know. Let's say you had a really good speech.
Yes, actually, you can still look at it at YouTube, writing up my name, Tomasz Sobieszak, Romans w pracy, and you will find this recording from the contest.
Okay, very good. The other thing is, when you're preparing a speech, has it differed over the years? Have you got to a stage where you can actually prepare a speech faster? Do you write it out? Do you memorize? Do you use mind maps? What's your technique?
Actually, for many years, I never used that much notes. First, I always come out with the general topic. Then I trying to make compelling title. And then I start putting points on paper. That's 1, 2, 3 points. Later on, when I'm trying to, in my mind, then I'm trying to put the speech together. I write down some nice sentences, and then I'm trying to repeat the speech like with the mirror training. I'm trying to say this speech like I was pretending to speak to the audience. I never write down whole speech. And I believe this is because I want to still maintain the proper interaction, because always something may happen during the speech. Maybe reaction of the audience is not as I expected. So always I leave a room for adjustments on the fly. Only one time I write down all the speech was my first speech in English. It turns out that even I had many experience in speaking in Polish language, but when I switched to English, it was so hard for me. It's like starting from scratch. Then I wrote down the speech, whole speech. And I'm a little bit ashamed, but I read whole the speech in my icebreaker in English. Later on, it was much better. And after third speech, I was comfortable to speak on English and prepare same way as I prepare speeches in Polish language. In my mind, training myself, silently talking to mirror, like pretending it was an audience.
That must be scary, having to look at yourself.
Yes, I still have a problem to hear myself on radio or any recording, or looking at myself on video. And actually, over time, I'm a bit more comfortable. But yes, this is like going beside crossing borders for comfort zone. That's why the mirror, to make me a little bit uncomfortable because, well, always there is a little bit of uncertainty when you speak to the audience, especially a bigger one.
And how many times would you actually practice? How many times would you do that in front of the mirror?
Well, I'm comfortable if I'm doing it 2-3 times. At the very beginning, it took me much more times to repeat my speech. Well, I can say now I need like less than 10 minutes to prepare speech on the topic I'm at least a bit familiar with. I will not be fully satisfied with the speech, with delivery, but it's possible. And I'm really comfortable, and I think the speech is good enough to present after 2-3 times of repeating and at least a couple hours of exercising, like different sentences, like making sure that the points I mention are really connected to the topic that way I want.
Okay, very good. And like you've been involved a long time in Toastmasters and you've been on the board. So can you tell the audience, you know, what positions you've done, the advantages and disadvantages of the different roles, like the VPR, treasurer, etc.?
Actually, I think on the board I had all the functions, I believe, already. And those that are like official after registration, I started as a president of Łódź Toastmasters for 13 months in a row, and it was amazing experience. When I realized that those people are not for me, but I am for those people, especially for the board and for the members, it's helped me to realize that leading people is actually serving them and helping develop their skills. I may be like helping to acquire some knowledge, but this responsibility, it was really good lessons in terms of responsibilities at all, because, well, you don't pay other people to do the job as an officer. You need to speak with them, you need to communicate with them, and not just tell, do it like this. You cannot do it. You need to speak. You need to convince. You need to inspire them. And what is most important, I think, listen to them. And yeah, you actually, as a president, you serve. On other roles, you learn many different other aspects of Toastmasters, different kind of the leadership. For example, when you are vice president of education, to actually help others with the projects, you need to know those projects. You need to also learn them. You need to make sure that if someone asks, okay, what is the project number 4 about? As a VP education, you need to already know it and answer right away. And it's very helpful when you actually did it project by yourself, because you have also not necessarily just the theory, you have also experience and practice in terms. So it also forces you to try many, many different pitches that you actually didn't even plan to do it. But in that way, you can help other people to prepare better for particular projects.
Okay. I'm current president of the Speakers of Łódź and the new club that's been formed. I'm the treasurer of the leadership. And previously, I've been the VP of PR for both Speakers of Which and the leadership. And what I found, especially as the VP of PR, is you learn so much that you can apply to your business. And have you found that of any of the roles that, because you're an entrepreneur yourself, you've got your own business, have you found that the roles have helped you in your business?
Definitely, yes. I remember once I especially applied for the VP PR, because, well, this is all about internal and external communication. You don't only need to put information to the world, to put Facebook page. You need to also communicate well around the team, inform everyone about important events, about important topics, and also a bit different communication when you want to put same information about same event to attract other people. This difference, it's really important. So for each audience, as a VPPR, you need to find the proper way to communicate. And this was really valuable lesson for me. Also, as a vice president of membership, it was really, really important to actually start talking with new guests, people you don't know, tell them about Toastmasters and actually easily ask them to join. It's like getting new client to your company. You need to make some pitch. You need to show that you know the topic and encourage them, inspire them even to listen to your offer and convince them to use your services. So this is like VP membership.
I think it's actually a very important role, because I know that at times you can be very good at the VP PR, getting people in, but if you don't have the vice president of membership that's actually able to convert, because some people are afraid of rejection, or they're not actually asking, they're not asking for the emails, they're not asking the reason why the person is there, they're afraid to try to, let's say, close the deal. And you can be getting the members come to the meeting and they don't come back. So it's a vital function.
Exactly. This is like networking and maintaining a relationship, yeah, like in business.
Exactly. And I know that you're a mentor to some people. Have you had a mentor for yourself? And even, like, let's talk about the mentor-mentee relationship, whether for you or how you communicate with your mentees and how you motivate them or how you actually help them progressing.
Actually, yes, I had at the very beginning a mentor. It was not like said, okay, now you will be my mentor and I will be your mentee. It was like natural connection. The member of Top Caristos Masters, Joanna, I think we had so great connection that we started speaking a lot, and she helped me with some things about Toastmasters. I also helped them with marketing that I know, and actually this connection, I can now name it, even it was not named before, as she was my mentor. There was regular mentorship, and I came across, especially at the very beginning of my journey, that I consider my mentors, for example, Piotr Himko, Łukasz Siemiątkowski, and they were inspiring me. Even if, in case, for example, Łukasz, he didn't know that much about Toastmasters yet, but he had different set of skills that impressed me, and he was willing to share them with me. And in return, I share what I know about Toastmasters. So there was the connection, and I believe I can name them also my mentors. And now when I'm mentor to some people, maybe not as much as I would like. And for example, Gerardo, I really appreciate also our connection, because I see in Gerardo, when he prepare speeches, that he can do much more. Maybe he don't know yet how much he can achieve. And that's why I really like challenge him. This is not regular mentorship. We don't speak that much that I was speaking with my mentors, but sometimes those small interaction, sometimes this really sincere conversation about the speech, about preparation, about everything about Toastmasters can make really huge impact for him as performer on the stage and in Toastmasters, building his engagement, and also for me to see that actually it's still possible to make a progress, because maybe you don't know the areas where you can make the progress yet. So now, because of relation with Gerardo, I started looking for those areas and also challenge myself to put as much effort as Gerardo put for preparation of his speeches. So this was also pretty nice inspiration for both of us.
And I've actually seen how he has progressed over the years. He's, I think he's nearly 2 years in Toastmasters, and his reason is he wants to be a senator in Mexico, you know, because he, you know, he doesn't like the corruption that's there. And he actually had a speech last weekend. The improvement and fluidity of his speech is fantastic. So I think he should definitely thank you for the help that you've been giving him there.
First, I need to thank him that he used what I suggested to him, and I'm happy that he's giving a progress. So this is the best reward I can have.
No, that's great. And I mean, I have seen that as well, because sometimes you'd have a mentee and you actually tried to help them, but they do nothing, you know, or you're trying to get them to do a speech or even just take roles, and they kind of phase out. And so when you see a mentee that actually takes on board what you're teaching them and progresses, it's a fantastic feeling.
Exactly.
So next one is, in Toastmasters especially, like I've noticed that they kind of have this kind of written rule: don't talk about politics, don't talk about sex, don't talk about religion. What's your views on that?
Well, I remember that I heard this so-called rule, and I took it really seriously. So if someone was talking about politics on the stage, I was just frozen. Don't do it, don't do it. But actually, this is something more on that. You can speak about any topic, but you need to remember to not offend other people. This is like the crucial. If you talk about your personal view about politics, for example, you need to put this in those words that are not, you are not offending other people. It's hard with politics. Every one of us has a different view, but I think you can speak about it, but be careful to not offend anyone, any views. And then you should be all right. You can talk about sex, you can talk about different taboo topics, but always, always make sure that on the audience there are no people that may be offended by what you said.
What about, for example, if someone is cursing? Because I have been at a lot of events and you have some fantastic speakers that are cursing, and it doesn't offend me. In like Wim Hof, you know, he it's just his way of speaking, and he engages the audience. But I've also seen people get really offended by someone using bad language, and it might only be one or two in the audience. Do you use bad language in your speeches, or what's your view on it?
No, I don't use by intention in any of my speeches offensive or offending language like vulgarism, because I believe this is obstacle on your, during your speech, to make your message clear. For some people it may be offended. Sometimes it's too much, especially when there is audience that maybe don't know you that much. This may be a problem, not only for you as a speaker to make sure your message is clear, because they will focus on those words, not on your message. So that's why I'm trying to avoid it. It happened for me a couple times, especially during impromptu speeches, and I'm still trying to learn to switch to other less offensive words, or just say beep, and it helps.
I actually like that, because the fact that the person doesn't get your message, they concentrate on the word that you've said. That's a very interesting and good point. And like, I know we did open mic. I've done the open mic. I'm not sure, did you do it the same day as me, or was it a different
day? No, I did different day.
Yeah, and like, maybe tell the audience, you know, why you decided you wanted to do open mic and how you felt about it.
Well, this is different kind of the speech. And this was really valuable experience. I like to put myself in the new situation that I'm especially not comfortable. And I remember I was really stressed before it. Even if it was like, okay, this is humorous speech. But no, this is not humorous speech. Stand up and humorous speech is much different. And I was even trying or forcing myself to use appropriate words, but it was really hard, and maybe that was fun to look at. And I believe I will try at least a couple times more to make sure when I go to the stage, to the open mic, I'm comfortable delivering this speech. This would be my goal. And I believe if you want to advance as a speaker, you need to try speaking on many different occasions and different opportunities on the stage. No matter if it's huge conference, or if it's just the presentation at work or for client, or it's open mic. Just go and try it, because the experience, it's very valuable. And maybe you will discover some areas that you really like and want to pursue it.
And maybe for the open mic, did you drink beforehand? And also, as a follow-up to that, have you ever drank before speeches just to overcome nerves, or just...
Well, I had, for many, many years, I had a strict rule. Don't drink before a speech, because I always would like to be really good focused. If I'm prepared enough, it helped me to be more confident. And yes, there was some after parties that we make speeches in the restaurant everywhere, that, yeah, obviously you could have something like beer. But those speeches are not the beer before a speech. It may sounds like a good idea for people that are really stressed, but actually, no. If you can focus more and beer is not helping with it, then it's really bad idea. And now I can say I'm not stressed before speeches, so I could have a beer, but I prefer to stay focused. Even if I know what to say, even if I'm prepared, I prefer to be focused.
And what would you say to people if they want to start public speaking, or they need it in their business, but there's not a Toastmaster club? What else can somebody do to actually improve their speaking if there's no club within the area that they're in, if they're in a small town, for instance?
Well, they can take a trip once a week or twice a week to the city that have a Toastmaster club. I know there are now even more and more popular online Toastmasters clubs.
I wasn't aware of that. So you can have a meeting online?
Yes, exactly. Meeting online. I'm still discovering those clubs, but definitely on Toastmaster.org you can search for those information, and there is a probability that you will find this kind of the club, read how to join them, but the other. And in addition, if you don't have Toastmaster club near you, well, if you have audience of at least two people, there is audience, you can ask them to train whenever you have presentation at work, ask your family, everyone, and just train in front of people and always ask for feedback.
Okay, very interesting. And what about, because I've read the TEDx book and Dale Carnegie, is there any books that you've read that you'd recommend that would help in public speaking?
Well, actually, I never read a book about public speaking.
That's fair.
I always preferred to try. I used, obviously, the manuals and from the Toastmasters for whole educational program. I read those books, but I remember maybe Caldini, auto-presentation, but I started with like 10 pages maybe, and I was bored. And yeah, I just focused on the trying all the new stuff on the stage, because whenever you did like all the manuals already, and then you know the areas you want to work on, so you can just pick up any project and do whatever you want to test whatever you want. And I'm trying to do like this. When I was for the first time preparing elevator speech, I just took icebreaker and did elevator pitch, actually three different them during one speech. Practice, practice, practice.
I'm not sure that you told me, but somebody told me about the icebreaker, that there was one Polish club and they actually thought you're supposed to talk about ice. Was that you told me?
Yeah, that was the rumor. And in 2009, when I started to going to Topkaris Toastmasters, Andrzej was also coming same way from Bydgoszcz. And Bydgoszcz is a bit farther from Warsaw. There was also the club that was struggling to register, and they didn't have actually any knowledge. And Andrzej actually told me that, yes, there was like icebreaker took really seriously. So all the first speeches, even if there were three first speeches on the meeting, they were about icebreakers, about ships that break ice. Hopefully it was corrected really fast, but yes, it happened. That's why you need to find the people that have knowledge and even ask them for help.
Very good. Very good. So any more advice to our audience?
Actually, you need to change from the thinker into doer and just practice, practice, practice. Whatever you want, however you want, Toastmasters give you this flexibility and you can speak everywhere. At work, at park, at pub, everywhere. Just stand up and speak.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for your time, Thomas.
Thank you very much. Bye.